I got three burning questions for you from my time out in Ashburn yesterday. The first of which involves two camp competitions that I think are up for grabs. And that is, who's going to win the job at left tackle? Cornelius Lucas, who seemed like the favorite going into camp, was the incumbent on the roster. Or Brandon Coleman, who's the rookie, was drafted 67th overall out of Texas Christian, who has played very well in practice and presumably is going to get a longer look because of that. Lucas was unavailable yesterday, was excused, absent, and Coleman in 11-on-11s, I thought, shined. And maybe even more importantly, felt and said after practice he was very, very comfortable with the playbook, with the role on that side of the line of scrimmage. He had played a lot of right tackle. He's played some guard at camp, but he felt back at home at left tackle where he played the majority of last season. He also was excellent in one-on-ones. In fact, today, Dan Quinn, who had the benefit, presumably, of watching all the tape and going back and studying the film from practice, as coaches do, watched the one-on-one drills and really sang the praises of Brandon Coleman, his left tackle. Coleman was someone I caught up with out in practice just a couple of days ago. You heard the interview here on Grant and Danny yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I think I'll find a home at some point, but I'm always keep that versatility up there. You never know what can happen. Then you might be able to be a left tackle like I was in 22, and then injuries happen. You got to move to a different spot. So I know I'm just working on staying ready on both sides and being comfortable wherever on the line.
I've been thinking Lucas was going to be the starter in Tampa Bay in week one all along, but I just liked what I saw from Brandon Coleman yesterday. It's a little early to put in Sharpie that he's going to be legit, that he's going to be a long-term answer, a bookend here in Washington. But I think I'm going to jot him down in pencil as the starter against the Bucs on the left side. If he struggles in the preseason, that won't happen, right? If he has a string of practices that aren't as good as what he looked like yesterday, that's not going to be the case. But I just think he looked like an NFL starter. And let's be frank, it's not like Cornelius Lucas, who's a journeyman swing tackle, who's a third tackle on a good team, is necessarily going to stand in his way or block him. You've got a prospect that you want to see. You don't really have an incumbent veteran you're paying a lot of money to or who means a lot to you long term. Why not give the kid a chance? So I'll say Coleman over Lucas for now at left tackle. Pencil, not pen, though, is what I'm going to write with. The other camp battle is at kicker, where things are heating up. Ramiz Ahmed was the lone kicker in training camp until just yesterday when Riley Patterson showed up. Riley Patterson and Ramiz Ahmed have both ended practices with five kicks each of the last 2 days. Yesterday, they were both perfect, 5 for 5. Today, they both missed one field goal from the same distance. I think it was right around 48 yards. They move back and end up booting from as far as 53. But identical, 9 for 10 for Ahmed and Patterson to this point. This was Dan Quinn on the kicking competition.
Maybe almost half the league have two into that space, but that and other positions are, you know, still part of the competition. With that specific one, you know, getting into the games, that'll be an important piece, right? To where, you know, the field goals, the extra points, and the kickoff, you know, so like seeing that, you guys will see some of the kickoff and kickoff return at practice today, but that'll be, you know, the third part of that.
I think Riley Patterson ends up being their kicker. Now, I'm going to tell you, as I say that, that this is based on almost nothing. Here's my logic. Riley Patterson's kicked in the NFL before. Ramiz Ahmed has not. Ahmed has been around, right? But he has had success at the UFL level. That's kind of the extent of his in-game big moment boots. And he's 29 years old. He was with Green Bay for one game, handled kickoffs, but does not have place kicking on his ledger on the back of the football card. Whereas Riley Patterson has not only done that, and he's had some success. I mean, he really actually was pretty good at it. The question for me on him, just looking at the numbers, is how big of a leg does he have? Because his teams have never really asked him to kick much from beyond 50. But he kicked in Detroit in 2021, Jacksonville in 2022, and then in both Cleveland and then Detroit again in 2023. A total of four teams in three seasons, and in his career, 67 field goal attempts. He's made 59 of those. That's an 88% clip, which would rank in the top third of the NFL probably over the course of a season. So just based on the resume being a little bit beefier and the fact that he's been around a little longer, I'll roll with Riley Patterson and assume he wins the job. He's also, again, if you're comparing ages, a little bit younger as far as the kicking competition goes. So you have a guy who's got more experience, and he's 5 years the junior of Ahmed, so worthwhile to maybe keep him around as someone you could possibly build with on special teams. Question number two of my burning questions to answer coming out of training camp. Why is there not more juice for Jaden Daniels? I cannot figure this out. What am I missing? The last time this team had a number two overall pick quarterback who had won a Heisman, he couldn't get to the practice field without wading through hundreds of fans trying to stop him for autographs and pictures. Everywhere Robert Griffin went, people chanted, RG3. And I feel like nobody cares that Jaden Daniels is having a really good camp, that the reviews have been off the charts, that everybody's raving about what a worker he is, that he's slinging the ball really well, he's been accurate. It seems like you can't put together as good a camp as he has, that you couldn't have imagined him to look this good this quickly, and no one said a negative word about the guy. There's not one person in the building that is fueling the fires or fanning the flames of any kind of fear that he's not going to be the guy, that they don't like work habits. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's been happening around here for years. But everyone's pulling the rope in the same direction. They all want this guy to succeed. Another reason why he might, just that they're doing this thing the right way. One of the most Jaden Daniels friendly analysts in the country, a guy that absolutely loves him, is Ryan Clark of ESPN. Here's what he had to say today about Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is going to have that CJ Stroud type of year. He's going to be that guy that we're talking about going into next year with a chance to launch himself into the upper echelon of quarterbacks. I just left Commanders camp and everyone is raving about the person he is, and we've already seen the player.
So I didn't realize this until today, but Ryan Clark's son, Jordan, played at Arizona State with Jaden Daniels. So not dismissing any of his takes on Daniels, but I've always kind of thought, man, do they share an agent? Like, God, he loves Jaden Daniels more than anyone I've ever seen on TV. But here's the thing. He's allowed to, because all Jaden Daniels has ever done is perform. So he knows Daniels personally, I'm sure. They have some relationship. His son was at Arizona State with Daniels. But that sounds almost nefarious, or like I'm poking at why he likes Daniels, when the fact is he might have just been one of the first ones on the scene. He might have been around the kid, saw he was the real deal, saw what kind of worker he is, saw that he had an NFL demeanor and makeup, and then watched him on the field at Arizona State, even though he was kind of shell of what he came at LSU, and decided this guy's going to be the next great thing in the NFL. So I'm not going to dismiss Clark's take or opinion on Daniels based on how close he is to the player. I'm going to actually choose to assume he's got good information on the type of person that Jaden Daniels is, but he is buying all of the stock, it seems like, and he's talking about a possible CJ Stroud season, which should be music to your ears. Which brings me to burning camp question number three. How many Rivera draft picks are going to be on the chopping block this summer? Have you guys thought about this? I was talking to Ben Standing of The Athletic on the sideline yesterday, and then we were walking to our cars after practice. And we were bouncing some names off each other. There are going to be a ton of Rivera-era draftees that are on the bubble that need to really help themselves in the preseason. Here are some names of some guys. Now, some of these guys are going to make it. It goes without saying. But these are the types of guys I'm talking about. A former first-round pick in Jamin Davis, who's practicing at a new position, who's not really flashing a ton yet. I think Jamin Davis makes the roster. I'm not convinced of that. Maybe he ends up getting traded. That might be the best scenario for everybody. Could a first-round pick just a few years ago be released by this new staff? It's very possible. How about former second-round pick Fidarian Mathis? Same thing. You've got Allen. You've got Payne. You drafted your own second-round defensive tackle in Johnny Newton. You've got guys like John Ridgeway who have played okay in a pinch and when asked to get on the field and push the pocket, they've been able to. we should not be in a situation where a Davis round one, Mathis round two are cuttable this soon into their career when they're not really making a whole lot of money. But here we are. It was just a disastrous run of drafts for the Marty Party. I would say that fourth rounder Braden Daniels is in trouble. Is third round pick Ricky Stromberg, the interior offensive lineman, going to make this roster? Sixth round running back Chris Rodriguez, who I really like, is in a scratching, clawing fight for a roster spot. I think KJ Henry should be expected to make it as the last defensive end in the Clemson product, but he is on the bubble as well. Get ready. I just think there's going to be a huge departure from a lot of these young Rivera players that were drafted. This was Dan Quinn talking about Jamin Davis this week.
Yeah, Dave, that's one of the positions that I had, you know, spoke about to have multi-position work, and we'll continue to do that with him. He's got speed and length, you know, like an outside backer does. So you need work at it, and it's not something that I'll know in 1 or 2 days. So we'll work all the way through to add another pass rusher to a group that adds depth, that adds value. So you'll see him some in some third downs and some 2 minutes, you know, working off the edge just to keep pushing, you know, what else can we do? How else can we feature players? And Jamin's a perfect example that, Dave.
I think it's becoming in vogue to talk about Davis getting cut, or it's certainly starting to become the trendy discussion. I get the discourse. I don't buy it yet. He's still very athletic, moves well enough, can do enough that I think that's a piece of clay I want to try to mold if I'm this coaching staff. But it probably doesn't even matter, really. I mean, the fact is there a spot for him? Right now, he's down the depth chart at linebacker behind guys like Jordan McGee, who was just drafted in the fifth round. And at defensive end, he's not cracking the rotation ahead of speed rusher Dante Fowler, run stuffer Cleland Farrell. He's down the board there, too. That matters more. Maybe you dangle him and he's a trade chip and somebody thinks first round pick, even though he probably shouldn't have been, speed, can go sideline to sideline, can hit. You could stand him up and rush a little bit. There's got to be a place where you could get some type of draft pick for Jamin Davis, and maybe that's ultimately what they try to do. But he may well be here. There's a lot of football, both practices, games ahead, and you don't make the roster on August 2nd. You know, you form the roster about a month from right now.